Welcome to Empower Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with a message of hope. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
Good evening, Empower Church. It's so good to be with you. And who of you are excited to be in the house of God tonight? We're going to have a good time tonight. Amen. And welcome to all of our online viewers. Welcome to the Facebook community. Welcome to the YouTube community. Welcome to Church Online and everybody that watches us everywhere. It's so good to be with you tonight. Tonight's going to be a good night. I'm excited about tonight. There's something that God's going to do tonight. He gave me a word tonight. I think I've preached on this scripture maybe 1,000 times, but there's something unusual that the Lord wanted me to speak on, very specific on tonight. And so I want you to take 5 seconds and share this live stream, get the word of the Lord out, and get it as far as wide as what you can. What I'm excited about is just to know this again, that Empower Church, during this lockdown, we've reached 14 million people so far of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's amazing, and that just shows you can lock up something, but you can never lock up someone. So tonight we want to speak about, or tonight we want to do one or two things that, thank you so much. Tonight what we want to make sure of is the following. We want to make sure of that we can get the word of the Lord out amply and powerfully. And I want to speak to you tonight about the scripture that I think it's very close to my heart, but I also want to speak about where I believe we are finding ourselves in right now. And so tonight is a little bit different. I want to be prophetic. So let's jump into the word of the Lord. And again, I say, if you're joining us, guys, on online, welcome, welcome. And maybe I can just see if the comments on both sides as I look to Facebook and YouTube simultaneously. Whoever you are wanting to receive a word from God tonight, you came on, you said, Prophet, I'm here. I want to receive a word from the Lord. You need a prophetic word. If that's you, won't you start to comment your names? Because as I see the names, what happens is as I see the names and I start to preach and we go for it, as we go, we see the Lord just starts to speak. And as God speaks, we can prophesy. Amen. And that's for you guys inside here as well. And who of you know that the word of the Lord works? Can I say that again? The word of God works. It works every time, and it must work. It cannot not work. It's an infallible word, and it has to work. Amen. So I want to go to John chapter number 11 and verse number 4. I'm going to start there, and I want to speak to you about the power of the word. And very specifically, I want to speak to you tonight about what Jesus is saying and what Jesus will say and what Jesus is expecting from His church in this hour and in this time. May I just say from the start that everything is in your mouth, and or let me rather say this, everything is in your heart. What is in your heart will come out of your mouth, and we need to be sure what we say in this time counts and matters for God. So in John chapter number 11, verse number 4, you get the story. It's one of those stories, I would say it's a funny story, it's an awesome story, because it's got so much truth in and so much theological things in. And so I want to speak about that. And John chapter number 11, I'm going to read for you one scripture, and then we're going to read a couple of scriptures, and then I'm going to explain to you what's busy happening here. John 11, 4 says this, when Jesus heard that, He said, I want you to understand, when Jesus heard, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. May I be as bold as to say from the start of this evening to say this, COVID-19 is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And if you are in here, I pray that you get what I'm saying. And I believe there's a lot of people that need to hear this. And so in John chapter number 11, verse number 38 to 44, the Bible says this, Jesus now gets onto the scene. I'm just going to read for you a scripture, and then I'm going to paint everything. It says, then Jesus said, Jesus again, groaning in Himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laying against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from where the dead place, where the man, dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, so that they may believe you've sent me. Verse number 43. Now when he had said these things, he cried out of a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out hand bound and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to the people around there, loose him and let him go. And if you are watching online, save me, loose me. And inside you, loose me and let me go. Because there's authority here. So I want to explain the scripture quickly for you guys. And what it means is the following. Lazarus is the friend of Jesus. This is the picture. This is the scenery. Lazarus is a friend of Jesus. And he's in trouble. And Lazarus is busy dying. And Jesus says this. He says, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And one day goes by. Second day goes by. Third day goes by. Fourth day, Lazarus dead. So it seems like a contradiction, and I'm going to pitch it differently tonight. I'm not going to preach it like you've heard it before. It seems like a contradiction because there's a good report and there's a bad report. The bad report is Lazarus is dying. Jesus contradicts the bad report. He says the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Fourth day, dead. Now what do you do if the promise seems dead? What do you do if the Christ, if the Master has himself spoken and yet the promise seems dead? And I want you to understand something here. And when I read this again, the Lord spoke to me and he said, think about Lazarus. Lazarus is sending his sisters. He says to Mary and Martha, go tell the Lord, I'm sick. Get a word from God for me. Jesus sends him word back and says, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Fourth day, just before he most likely died, Lazarus is again saying, listen, ask the Master, what did he say about me? And again they quote, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Fourth day, dead. Now it seems, listen, and I want you to understand that it seems like COVID-19 and it seems like this whole situation that's on the planet might have caught some people of God, but it has never, ever, and it will never precede the word of the Lord that has come out of the mouth of God long before the event came. Oh, I want to say this. Before an event happens, I'm going to be prophetic tonight. Before an event happens, the word of the Lord was already here. Oh, so long before something happens, someone is already present. Oh, I'm going to get you awake tonight. Online, guys, you need to work with me here. Long before there is something, there was someone. And so what happens here is this story is this ridiculous story. They take Lazarus, they put him in a tomb, and they seal up the tomb. And Jesus stays away. 4 days, gone, away. And if you study the Bible, you'll find out why he stayed away 4 days. Because in 3 days, anybody could have raised anybody. But in the fourth day, only God can. And so he waits until the impossible before he steps in. Arrives onto the scene, and I want you to understand something here. Jesus said the sickness is not unto death for the glory of God, which means this, long before Lazarus came into the tomb, Jesus was already inside. Oh, no. I want you to understand, long before 2020 came, Jesus was already in 2020. Otherwise, he's not God, but he is God, and he has a word for us, and his word is, before 2020 came, I was in 2020. And the only way that Christians will see destruction if we speak like the world. That's currently the problem of the church. The church is speaking exactly like the world. We look like the world. I think I look better than the world, but never the case, I'm teasing. But the point is, we cannot talk like the world because we are not of the world. We're in this world, but not of this world. I'm not from this place. I'm in this place. So I'm passing by, I'm passing through, and I belong to the kingdom. I don't belong to any other government but the government of the Lord Jesus Christ. I submit to the government, of course I do. And yes, I pray for them, but on his government rest his shoulders. On his shoulders rest the government, and on that government there is no end. Come on, heaven is never in recession. Gabriel is not running around and freaking out, where can we get money? No, we're blessed. Come on, are you there? But many people need to know in this hour right now, stop helping the devil out with your mouth. I'm hearing so many Christians, they're sending me these little messages, and can I have just 30 seconds of this? Sending me messages of this and that, and all the realities around us. Listen, the Bible says nation will rise up against nation, kingdom will rise up against kingdom. We know. So relax. We know. But we won't help the world out by listen, my mask is this. If I have a mask, I'll put this thing on. The word of the Lord is my mask. It's the best sanitizer there is. It repels devils. Are you with me? So, but we have to understand, but some, you know, we get Christians, they like, oh, have you heard? Have you seen this? Have you? And I'm like, listen, there's only one accuser. His name is the devil. There's only one slanderer. His name is the devil. There's only one guy that runs around with a bad report. His name is Satan. But as long as everywhere I see, if I read my Bible right, everything I see, God says, oh, I see your giant, I'll take that giant. I see David coming onto the scene and say, oh, I see the giant. Okay, well, what will I get for me to go fight? The businessman, he thinks. And I want you to see here, because right now, Christians are talking gobsmack. A nice English word for saying they are putting their tongues to Satan. And because they're doing that, they are prophesying something over a nation. And as a prophet, one of the things that the Lord has said to me, he said, tell my people, as long as they speak death, they will inherit the fruit of their tongues. But as soon as they put their mouth to my world, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. That doesn't mean I'm blind. That means I'm stronger. People say, why don't you say what you see? No, I see what I see, but I understand that there's a kingdom behind what I see that is stronger than the kingdom that I see. Do I see certain things? Do I see nation against nation? Absolutely. Do I see kingdom against kingdom? Absolutely. Do I see all these things? I see it, yet I understand faith is a higher dimension. And I understand I won't change nothing by discussing what I see. I can change everything by being like Elijah. You see, there's two types of Christians right now. And you, if you're taking notes, take this down. There's two types of Christians right now. The Gehazis and the Elijahs. And Gehazi is saying, listen, there's massive armies against us. We're going to lose this battle. We're not going to make this. We're not going to win. And then you get the Elijahs that say, Lord, please open up the eyes of Gehazi that they can see more are they that are for us than they that are against us. Oh, come on. What am I saying? I'm saying that there's a report out of your life, and that report was in the tomb long before the body came. Long before Lazarus came, long before the impossibility came, long before that came, the word of the Lord was already in there. In other words, the Spirit of God was hovering over Lazarus, waiting for another witness on the outside. The world right now is waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. God is waiting for someone to agree with him to say, can these bones live? And if the church sounds like the world and we're all depressed and we're all concerned, I tell you, the world will not follow the church. Because why should they follow a group of people that don't know what they're doing? But if I am in control and I am blessed and I am the head and not the tail and I am above and not beneath and I am not touched, even though I see all of these things, if I can still live a life of being consistently living in the truth. And I'll say it again, that the church must really stop helping Satan out. Oh, come on, can I have an amen here online or something? You have to understand Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1 and 3. And this is what I want you to get, is that the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, let light be. In other words, there was chaos, and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the chaos, waiting for someone to speak. And God said, let light be. And when the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the word hover, there is the word imagination. In other words, seeing something, predicting something. And when the Spirit of the Lord predicted how the whole earth will look like, the Father spoke. And He said, light be, and light was. And all of creation started to form out of those two words. A little bit later on in history, we see in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. Now, where is the Word? The Word is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Who's sitting inside of me? The Holy Spirit. Who is the Word? I am the Word. So if I don't open up my mouth, if I don't prophesy, if I don't speak, someone else will. And right now, the world is prophesying a lot. Oh, can I say that again? The world is prophesying a hell of a lot. And the church is helping out. We're helping out. Good brothers and sisters, I tell you, people mustn't even send me this stuff. Because they'll say, but what about this and what about that? Listen, I don't have an opinion. I don't even see what they see. I just see one thing. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the life. That's it. Okay, but what about this? No, but what about that? The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And may I prophesy to you tonight, COVID is not unto your destruction. It's not unto your death. The only thing that COVID could have done is highlighted the deficits that's already been there. It just highlighted what we have put our trust in. Because if you've had your life mapped out, well, COVID would have kind of destroyed the map. And say, no, let's put that on pause. But if I'm a kingdom kid, I'm saying, no, you don't put nothing on pause. Because you don't have that authority in my life. It's like someone coming, it's like a neighbor wanting to come into my house and spank my kids. No, get out. Come on, I'm talking about authority here. The church has the authority. And I want you to get this again this evening, is that this is what the Lord has said to me. He said, Isaiah chapter number 55, verse number 11, it says, I've put my words in your mouth and covered you with the shadow of my hand. Now, I'm not saying be stupid. I'm not saying don't think. As a church, we have to think. That's not what I'm saying. Obviously, there's things happening around us. What I am saying is that the church is called to be the light. The church is called to be the salt. We are the light of the world. So if the world is getting darker, the church is not burning. The church, the world can only get dark if the church is not burning like a light. Come on, are you with me? So now we get Christians, they report the whole time on the bad stuff. Listen, stop helping the devil. No, rather all your time, I see some people, they watch his negative things the whole time. Don't you understand that as a man thinketh, so is he? That's why, what does Satan do? Think about it. Satan attacks the mind. I've taught you these things so many times before in power. Satan attacks the mind. That's his game. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 10 says this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand. Against what? The wiles of the devil. The word stand is the Greek word stenai. The word stenai means eyeball to eyeball, nose to nose, face to face, shoulder to shoulder, stand. That means if you've never watched, let me say it like this. You can always tell the size of a man's destiny by the size of a man's trouble. Oh, let me say it again. You can always determine the size of a man's destiny by the size of a man's trouble. If you ever wanted to see people doing significant things for God, you will always, every man and woman that wants to do something significant for God will find themselves in trouble with man. It's hard work. Why? Because we are not from here. I have another passport. It says heaven. Come on, guys, we have to catch this. But Jesus, and where we are, and this is what I feel the Lord is saying to us. Jesus is saying to us, the sickness is not unto death, but for my glory. You can say, but how do you get glory? Well, everything is His. Everything belongs to the Lord. The earth and the fullness thereof. And again, that's what Satan is busy doing. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, the Bible says, take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. So every thought that rises itself up against the knowledge of God in your life, every thought that does not meet with this Bible, that thought must be taken captive, and you must bring that into the obedience of Christ. Are you with me? And so what am I saying? I'm saying the following as you guys are online. Again, take 2 seconds, guys, and just welcome 5 people onto this and get people onto the stream, because it's so important to get the message out tonight. Tonight's message is crucial. It is crucial to understand what we are busy doing. It is crucial to know what God wants us to do. And more than ever, I can't underscore this enough tonight. What I want to do is this. As I watch the names on Facebook and on YouTube, I want you to comment your name. If you are tonight at a place where you are saying to me, Gebat, I'm at a place where it feels like a tomb, it feels like a difficult place, I want you to comment your name right now. Because what I feel in my heart to do is this, is that I know by a fact that by sending the word of the Lord, we can get the word of the Lord into the tomb. Because as we get the word of the Lord into the tomb, we can get you out of it. Oh, can I say that again? So again, if you guys are online of us, I'm looking at all the names. Again, I want you to take a couple of seconds, guys. And if you feel, you say, Gebat, that's me. I'm in a tomb place. I feel like my life has been locked up, or whatever the case might be. I want to send you a prophetic word tonight. And we're going to do that later on. Because greater is the word of the Lord in you than anything that we are facing right now. We have to know this. And I want to be a good reporter to you tonight. And this is heaven's report. This is heaven's report. Heaven's report right now is this. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And you can say, I don't even understand how that's going to work. I want you to see something here. And let me go back to my scripture. I want you to see something. Jesus comes and stands on the outside. Now, and please listen to me. Jesus stands on the outside. He has His word on the inside. Because Lazarus is on the inside. Jesus is on the outside. A stone has been raised up. A stone is a ceiling. The word stone there is the word law. The word law there means to hold back, to limit. Jesus says, roll the limitation away. Roll the law away. And as the law gets rolled away, I want you to see something here. The Bible says everything in heaven and on earth, and I'm saying this because I want to prophesy. The Bible says everything in heaven and on earth is established by 2 witnesses. Everything. So now we see Lazarus inside, but we also see Jesus has sent His own word ahead of Himself. Because He said the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Now He's standing on the outside. His word is on the inside. The Spirit of the Lord is hovering over Lazarus. Spirit of life. Not spirit of death, spirit of life. And the Spirit of life is waiting for someone to come in agreement with the words that's already inside. Oh, come on, are you there? And so Jesus says these words. Jesus says, He says, Lazarus, come out. And so what happens effectively is this, is that because the word of the Lord is already inside, Jesus sends His word in again. In other words, there's a witness on the outside, there's a witness on the inside. The witness on the inside is ready. Jesus stands on the outside also, witness ready. He says, come out. Then the Bible says this, as soon as Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. The Bible makes it very clear that Lazarus obviously comes out. But listen here. Here's where I want to get prophetic. And he who died came out bound. I want you to see that. He that died, he came out. He's still bound. He still has a hand, and his feet are still full of grave clothes. And his face is still wrapped with a cloth. And when I saw this, the Lord spoke to me again. And I want to predict this, or not predict this, I want to prophesy this. I want you to understand something here. Is that the same people that put Lazarus in the tomb, those same people are standing next to Jesus. And Jesus say to the same people that put Lazarus in, Jesus is saying, now you take him and unloosen him and let him go. Oh, let me prophesy to you like this. The same thing that has tried to put the world inside the tomb. If there is a group of people that will agree with heaven, and if there is a group of people that will start to speak and declare like heaven declares, the same system that tried to put a world into a tomb will be the very witnesses that will see the glory of the Lord being revealed outside of that tomb. Because Jesus is an expert in appearing in the fourth watch. Jesus is an expert in happening when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, we don't know, but we will not bow down and we will definitely not worship you. And you have to understand right now, church, what this is about is your worship. The devil wants your worship. He wants you to bow the knee and worship him, and you have to be a defiant. You have to say no. I tell you the truth, the very thing that tried to lock you up will loosen you. Because the master's voice is still as strong as what it was 2,000 years ago. I don't know about you, but I still speak to him regularly, and he is in a good mood, and he is saying, I'm alive, I'm well. And I don't know what you're facing tonight. I don't know your circumstances, but I do know the master. And I have seen much of that. And I do know this, that he is saying, you devil that put the people in, I'll use you to take them out. But we should stop being so depressed. See, Christians today, they're so depressed. Why are you depressed? I'm worried about what? About my future. You don't have your future. About my money. It's not yours. If it worries you that much, give it away. About my health, what? He said, go heal. About sickness, why? You have authority over it. No pestilence will draw near my house, the Bible says. He's given his angels charge over me. Come on, you need to know who you are. But Jesus is waiting for some people. I want you to understand, Jesus is waiting for the church. If you really want me to be extreme prophetic tonight, this is the number 5780. We have just entered that decade. This is the 10 years of decade that we are in. 10 years. In September, it will go 5781. In this year of the decade, or the Mao 5780, it is a time for the church to be allowed. But so many Christians currently is like, oh God, let it just pass. Listen, no, you can't have any. I was over COVID day one. Because I was like, oh, what is this? Come on. And what is the devil trying to do? He's trying to defer your hope. He's trying to tell you this is not going to end. But let me tell you, as long as good men keep their mouth shut, nothing will happen. But when good men rise up and good men say, hey, enough, devil. I wonder where's the authority of the believer. Oh, and excuse my passion, but where's the authority of the believer? Where's the authority of people walking in their gardens and say, hey, devil, get out of here in the name of Jesus the Christ. Where are the people that walk the malls? They're not afraid that some bug will get you. Come on. And say, hey, I'm greater authority. Come on, it's we have to get back to the source of everything. And that's the fire of God. It's the passion of God that's inside of us. The Bible says this. Listen to this. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 10, verse number 8 to 9. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. So if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Listen, the point is the word is in your mouth. The word is in your mouth. It's in your mouth. And I don't know if I'm speaking to the right group of people here. I believe I am. But the church is only victorious. The church stands as a light beam when we are contradictory. when we look the same, when we talk the same, when we act the same, why will the world have hope in us? We are the called out ones, the ecclesia. So here's my advice for everybody looking at all this death and decay running around and sending stuff. Listen, rather use your time in getting closer to the King. Because here's the truth, here's the reality. The King is sitting and He's in full control. He's so much in control that the Bible says, and I know the time and the hour is near. Guys, listen, you have to understand that the time and the hour is very close, but it's been close. And just to give you some hope tonight is this, that do you know that of the first pestilences that ever broke out happened 90 years after Jesus left the planet? And Peter wrote, actually, he wrote it. He said, actually, pestilence, coming of the Lord is near. That's 2,000 years ago already. They believed that the coming of the Lord was in their day. That's why if you read your Bible, you'll see every man of God, every Paul, Peter, James, John, everybody wrote in a sense of urgency. Why? They believed the Lord were coming in their time. And so as a prophet, I can say this to you tonight, and I want to be a voice of contradiction. I can say to you tonight, Jesus is saying the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And there might have been, listen, there might have been a situation or two where you say, oh, but I've lost this, I've lost that. Well, the power of Christ can raise it. Because the same, because here's the awesome thing. What do you do with Lazarus if he's alive? The guy's dead. Jesus raised him. Now the Bible says, if you read on a little bit on in Scripture, Lazarus sits right next to Jesus, alive. What do you do with a dead guy now alive? Well, you've lost all your reason. Oh, come on, are you there? You've lost all of your reason. And here's what the enemy does so powerfully. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 27. This is what Satan does. Oh, he's good in this. But this is what he does. Satan plants a thought. He plants an image. He plants an idea. He says to you, this thing. And then what the people of God does, the scripture says it like this, the people of God, they start to meditate on it. Because what is a devilish thought? A devilish thought is any suggestion to you that God is not who He says He is. Oh, come on, are you with me? And so that thought, then we give our attention then to that thought. And the more I give my attention to that thought, what happens? That thought starts to rise up. Listen, let me be very frank tonight and say it like this. Woe unto Christians if they see death and decay in nations and they were the people that actually declared it. I don't want to be you in front of God. Because nowhere does He say, nowhere in this Bible does God say, I need more news reporters. Nowhere does He say, listen, go and help out these people. No, he says, the good news. What is the good news? Raise the dead. What is the good news? Heal the sick. What is the good news? Cast out devils. What is the good news? Be prosperous. Good news. For who should I tell it? For everybody. Why? It's for everyone. How so? I came for everybody. That's the good news. Every tribe, every tongue, everyone. Every position, social, whatever, every social, economic position, everything. He said, everyone. Who do you want, Jesus? Everyone. Everyone. Yeah, everyone. Rich, poor, everyone. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Come on, church. And so tonight I have to be a voice of truth to you. I have to be a voice because, and this is what this thing will do. Oh, can I be prophetic about this? This is what this thing will do is that Jesus is leading you to your Gadara moment. What is Gadara? Gadara is reward at the end. Reward at the end. That's the word Gadarenes. Reward at the end. Reward at the end. And what is happening between the reward at the end and you actually stepping into your freedom? This is what happens. Satan will throw the biggest storm he can. Mark chapter number 5 tells us that. Massive storm. massive storm. It doesn't destroy the ministry of Jesus. In actual fact, it just shows who Jesus is. He silences storm. He says, storm be still. The word, or wind be still, is the Greek word lalapsi. He silences the wind and the waves. I want you to understand something. Jesus wasn't very kind when he dealt with the devil. Oh, we must stop being so kind. He wasn't kind. He commanded. He said, peace, be still. There's not one devil he would speak to and say, oh, what is your name? Where do you come from? No, he rebuked the devil. He said, ah. He was not kind with storms. He rebuked storms. He said, no, storm out of here. And the people around him said, who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Exactly, he is the master of the winds and the waves. May we be as bold as tonight and say this, even COVID obeys the Lord. Oh. Come on, man. This is the one thing. The other day I prayed for a person again and it's got cancer, but busy dying. God heals them like that. He said, go and heal. Oh, but I don't know how. Exactly. That's why you need him. He said, heal. Oh, come on. Are you with me? Oh. And so what happens, this man is sitting on the other side. Let me preach it like this. This man sits on the other side. And I understand people. I understand it, dude, that they might be going through some heavy seasons. I get it. But I know the one that is stronger. I know the one that pays taxes by fishing. I know the one that says, put the people in groups of 50 and let's give them 12 baskets left. I know the one that spoke by one breath and he and everything listens to him. I know the one that 2/3 of the angels are still in allegiance to him and more. Because nowhere does it say stop creating. I know the one that by the breath of his nostrils, everything responds to him. I know the one that more than 6,000 years ago, he just said light be and this ball is still hanging in the air. Oh, you need to understand, men come and men go, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And God is looking for a group of people in 2020 that will say, enough, devil, get out. It's all he wants. It's all he wants. And if you can train yourself that he's still the master of the winds and the waves, he's still the master. He's not changed. And so Jesus reaches the other side. Oh, Jesus reaches the other side. The man is full of demons. The Bible says he's full of a legion of demons. That's 6,824 demons inside of that man. That man has never seen Jesus. Never. But the demons know Jesus. And so this man, he runs to Jesus. He falls onto his knees. And he says this, what have we got to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Why have you come before the appointed time? The man does not point Jesus out. The devil points Jesus out. Oh, let me turn it to you. Let me turn the scripture that you can understand. It is the pain that brings out the breakthrough, because in the crushing comes the anointing. There is no other way. Oh, there is no other way. It is the crushing that brings the anointing. And then people can be all philosophical about their crushing. No, please don't be. God doesn't need to crush you to make you. You just need to listen. Listen and live. You know, I've got people, they fly in from all across the world to come and see me. And then they don't, then I sit with them and I'm like, they ask me and I give them a prophetic advice and they're like, and I can see they don't listen. I'm like, why do you want my advice when you've already made up your mind not to listen? But if you listen, you can live. Oh, come on, are you with me? There's a power resident inside of you. It's like Peter and James and John that says that silver and gold we do not have, but they were lying, by the way. Silver and gold we do not have, but whom we have. Silver and gold we do not have, but whom we have. In other words, what they were busy saying, they say, listen, the silver and gold is not going to help you walk. But who we have will make you walk. Oh, where are the people that will say, silver and gold I do not have, and that's kind of a lie, but the who I have, he will make you walk. Oh, come on, guys. There has to be a boldness coming back to the body of Christ. You know, I see pastors taking photos of these masks and I think to myself, what are you doing? Really? I'm not going to, you know, I wear it because I have to. But the point is, I see the guys take photos, selfies. Oh, look mine. I'm like, I'm glorifying nothing. No, I'll put the Bible on my face. No, really. It's. And I'm not saying this, but to say anything weird, but there has to come an authority back to us. And we need to do everything that the government is saying. Don't get me wrong. I understand it. We're in subject. We pray for these people. We pray for them and we bless them and all of that. And we are, I know that we have to do. That's what the Bible says. But the point is, follow the fullness of the word. Don't be a little gossiper and tag-tailer and tail-biting little devil. What do these people do? They say, hey, have you heard? Have you seen? No, I don't want to see nothing. Tell me about Jesus. No, but have you heard about this news? You know, and then I see prophets, they start to prophesy this stuff. Oh, I see this. You don't need to be a prophet, man. You can just look. You can just have a brain. Then you can say, oh, this is going to happen. Then they say, oh, I'm a prophet, I said it. Ah, nonsense, man. It's a much more of greater prophetic weight to say the contrary and to see heaven actually invade and then to stand on the word of the Lord and say, I actually saw this, I said it, and it happens. And so as long as I'm in this country, I will say South Africa will live. I don't care what says, I will not put my mouth to the mouth of destruction because that is not who I am and that's not who you are. As long as we are alive, we have to be able to say, the Lord lives, the Lord reigns, let the earth be glad. As long as there is breath in this body, there's one person that must be glorified, and that's Jesus. We cannot glorify a fired angel. He's fired. He doesn't have a job. Oh, come on, church, are you with me? And excuse the passion, I say to myself, this afternoon I was thinking about it, why are people focused so heavily on what is around them and they're not focused on that is within them? Has God changed? Has He moved? Has He shifted? Has He changed His mind about us? No. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Oh, His report of your life is good. He's good. And I want you to grab hold of this. Oh, take this with me. Take this next 2 seconds. I want you to just catch this. Last night we were sleeping, and obviously that's what happens when you're in bed at night. And so we were sleeping. And you're about at 2 o'clock, I guess. At 2 o'clock, my baby daughter, she fell out of her bed. And as she hit the ground, she cried. But I don't know how this happened, but because I'm quite a distance away from her. But when she hit the ground and when she cried, when she yelped, when she cried, I was next to her. And so we had a discussion about it this afternoon. And my older girls and Shannon asked, my wife asked, Shannon said, but how were you there so quick? How is it that you were there so quickly? She barely fell and you were there. I'm like, I don't know. It's instinct. It's instinct. And when I said it is instinct, God spoke to me. And He said this, exactly. I said, did I hear you right? He said, exactly. Tell my people, when they're in trouble, it's instinct for me to respond. They don't even need to ask twice. They can just say, help, and I'm there. I am the God of their trouble. I'm the buckler and I'm the shield. I'm the force. They just need to ask for help. Don't they understand how much I love them? Oh, may the goodness of God understand you once again in this night. May the fire of the Lord come again upon you. May you understand how much you are loved by a God that calls himself Elohim El Shaddai, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Ro'ah, the one that makes the way, the one that breaks open a new way for us. He is my Father, he's your Father. Jesus calls him the Abba. Oh, come on, the father instinct. You have to understand there's a father instinct. You don't need to convince him to help you, ask him. You need to convince him, you don't need to just say, Father. He's like, how can I help? Oh, we have forgotten the love of God. You know, there's a love that I can tell you, I've been through the worst things in my life. I can tell you this, the love of God does not, there's nothing that separates me from the love. I've stood next to my mom's bed as it gone into glory, worst time in my life. But I can tell you there's a love that finds you. I can tell you in younger times in my life, we had nothing. That sucks. Having a lot is much better. I can just tell you that. But the point is this, God never moves. He's the same. I've been preaching for 120 days like a crazy person. Why? He's the same. He is in love with me and he's in love with you. And it's the love of Jesus that makes him stay away 4 days. Because he wants the church to stop looking around them for other people's help. And he wants to ask the people of God to look to him. And then he shows up in his awesome posse. And all the 11 are there. All the 12 are like, oh, I want to know what Jesus is going to do. And so I'm here tonight to tell you that there's a God that loves you. He loves you. He's in love with you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's an unstoppable love. It's a father's love. And I don't know about you, but I can't wait to be with him. I just want to be back with the Lord. But every time I think like that, it's like, not yet. Work to be done. And so I want to encourage you and say this, that somewhere the church needs to arise. We need to say, hey, out. You know, why don't the church march the streets? And say, out of our country, get out. Come on, where's the passion? No, but people are too comfortable. I'm like, no, man, this is not how we're going to do this. We know the one. Think about it. The devil doesn't have a say to this, guys. And maybe I can end by saying this. I'm so passionate about this because I know what he wants. I know what he wants. This is what the master wants. This is what he wants. First and foremost, he wants us to know. And I'll prophesy just now. He wants you to know that he has the authority to roll the stone away. Point number one. Point number two. He has the authority to tell every time, come out of this thing. And three, he uses the people that put people into these things to loosen them out of it. And all he wants, and this is what I hear him say, I remember the days, I love the church, I remember the days, as a small boy, 6 years, 5 years, I remember it, as a small boy, I remember how the Spirit of the Lord will come in like a wind. I remember seeing with my physical eyes as a small boy. I saw miracles. I saw signs. I saw. And if you want to know what I'm praying for, I'm praying, God, make the church awake. Wake up. Wake up, sleepyhead. Wake up. Start to speak. And you can ask me, Gebhard, where does this start? It starts with this. It starts with you changing the way you start your days. It starts with you waking up every morning saying, God, thank you. And then to start to declare the day. The light is in your mouth. You have to declare the day. Because the Bible says we have to resist Satan coming into a day. How? By your mouth. And you might say, but I get tired. I understand. So did Jesus. But the flesh is not always willing. But the spirit is. And so what I wanted to get across to you tonight is this, is that, and this is my last sentences on this, and then I'm going to prophesy, is that here comes Jesus. I want you to imagine this picture, because you must just see this again. I want to always take you back to Jesus. Here you find Jesus. He's 30 years of age. He walks onto the scene. He finds his cousin, John the Baptist. His cousin recognizes that this is the one that the Word spoke about. The Bible says the Word walks into the water. Oh, I can preach on that. The Word walks into the water. By the way, the water is the Word. Ephesians 5:25. The Word walks into the water. He submits himself to the Word over John's life. The Word submits himself to the Word. The Word living in the prophet John says, John says, his natural mind says, no, Lord, how can I baptize you? You must baptize me. Jesus corrects him and says, no, let it be according to the Word. So the Word submits himself. One prophet submits himself to another prophet. Both of them have a job to fulfill the kingdom. So one prophet submits himself to another prophet. The greater to the lesser. He submits himself. John takes him, he baptizes him. He puts him into the Word, the fulfillment, the third part. He takes him out of the water, out of the Word. The Bible says, and the heaven go open, the Spirit of God descend. And from that time, from the book of Malachi to the book of Matthew, all the way up to now, the heavens have never been shut again. So I want you to see something again. You, my friend, live under an open heaven. The heavens have never been shut again because Jesus is still sitting and waiting. Even Jesus needed a prophet to get the heavens open. And as you sit here tonight, here's the truth that I want you to get. You are a prophet by the way you speak. And you have to start to declare over your life an alternative destination. You have to look at your bank account and talk differently to it. You have to look at your children and speak according to their futures. Because this is how you drown Satan. Oh, this is how you drown the devil. Take him into the future. He has not been there. He does not know you in your future. Satan calls you according to your problem. God calls you according to your promise. God says not. He doesn't say Simon. He says Peter. He doesn't say Saul. He says Paul. God calls you according to your future. And I want to remind you, oh, let heaven come. I want to remind you, God is the God that is an expert in the in-between. That's why that's that but God moment. Simon became Peter, but God. Joseph sits in jail. It seems all his dreams are done. No, but God. Samson, not very bright. Samson wasn't a very bright dude. He's like a girl wants to do things with him, and he just like goes along with it many times. Not very clever. And eventually, I want you to see it, he loses his sight. But God remembers Samson. Samson messed up his life. Yet God remembers Samson, not according to his life, but according to his end. Oh. And so tonight you might be at a place, you might be at a place like, and here's the good news. Here's what I like about God. God could have said Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, or Israel, but he says Jacob. Why Jacob? Because Jacob was a little bit shady. Jacob had a little bit of issues. Jacob was a swindler. Jacob had clay. But tonight, what I want to get right, and before we prophesy, what I want to get right, I want to introduce you to you again. The beautiful you, the classy you, the future you. Can I end with a scripture? Let me say it like this. Crazy, crazy thought. Listen to this. Jesus says to the man, I like the Bible. I don't know about you, but I like the Bible so much. I love the Bible. It's got so much word. There's so much life in. A blind man comes. They're bringing next to Jesus. According to Deuteronomy chapter number 28, whoever was blind was cursed by God. They say, where are you? They say, here's Jesus. The blind man is blind. He hears Jesus going. He hears the same reaction that he's heard his whole life. Yet this time, it's not meant for destruction. And Jesus goes and Jesus spits into the ground. Clay. Puts it on the man's eyes. He tells him, funny story, tells him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Here the blind goes. He goes. He actually goes. And now think about it. Here he walks. And everybody that meets him is like, where are you going? Going to the pool of Siloam. How does it look like? I don't know. Never been there. Who spit on you? Jesus. Who sent you to walk all by yourself? Jesus. Where are you going with all that spit? Where Jesus sent me. Can you think how the people must have thought, this guy's mad? But here he goes. Why? He walks by faith and not by sight. Oh, come on. He walks. He goes to the pool of most likely Siloam. We don't know. Think so. He washes. Who's the first guy he sees? Himself. Why? The master will always introduce you to the you that you forgot. Oh, come on. The master will always reintroduce you. So let me reintroduce you tonight. This Bible says this, you are beautiful. This Bible says you are wonderfully made. This Bible says you are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. This beautiful Bible says you are a conqueror. This Bible says you are more than a conqueror. This Bible says at the end you were. This Bible says you have been given everything to succeed in life, faith and gifts and talents. This Bible says never will the righteous be forsaken. This is who you are. So let me hold up the middle of the word for you tonight. And let me be a reminding voice to you tonight. You are anointed. You are appointed. You are. This is what he says. This is his news. So Heaven's News 24 says, you won. How's that for a headline? You won. We just need to take it. But you know, the church sometimes, can I tell you how the church is? The church is like that high school girlfriend that you had that you don't want to tell us about. Where you like, are you, because Jesus is literally saying to us, cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead. This is who you are. And we're like, oh no, that's not who we are. Jesus literally says in the Bible, no, I want you to be blessed. And the Christian church is saying, oh no. I want to be humble. I want to be humble. Let me sleep on the humble. God's like, what? Then I have Christians telling me, but you must be, think about it. Jesus was born in a manger, you know, to be humble. No. He was looking for a towel. He couldn't find one. Hello? Come on, what's happened, church? It's no humility in these things. Come on, it's the King. If He gave it to you, it's rude not to take it. In actual fact, it's reverse order. We have to celebrate it. Like, yeah, it's who I am. And so you're beautiful, you. Let your pastor say it to you tonight. You are beautiful, and you are wonderful, and you are to die for. And that's what he believes. Will we go through seasons in life? Absolutely. 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 Is the world going through a sneeze? Yeah. Will the season pass? Yes. Will you be stronger through this? Yes. Will you go be on with your life and do everything that you needed to do? Yeah. But right now is your appointed time. And you need to decide that. And if I could have provoked anything tonight, it should have been this. That you must not put your plans on hold. Nothing must be on hold in your life. Nothing. And so I wanna be a voice of life tonight. I wanna speak life. And so I wanna give an opportunity tonight and say this, because it's heaven is giving you a compliment. And heaven wants the beauty out of you. So how do you get the beauty out of you? Well, you just chisel away. That's what doesn't look like him. That's it. But tonight, heaven is for you. And so, as a prophet tonight, I wanna do exactly the way the master did it. I wanna give you a word into your tomb and say, get out of there. Get out of your tomb and live your life. Live your life. Live your life. Many of us, we're making the Peter mistake all over again. We're pulling our swords, and we don't need to help the master out. Put your sword away. Trust me. I don't know what tomorrow happened. You didn't know like a week ago too. It's not like this thing, it just highlighted what we trusted in. So trust in the Lord. Oh, and rise up. Let me give you a tip for people that don't have jobs. Dress like a job, man. Get up in the morning, comb your hair, brush your teeth, put on some Avengers, look nice, smell like, show up. Say, here am I. And who are you? I'm here for a job. Act like a king. They will be treated like one. Maybe not always, but who cares? Show up. But sometimes we feel so sorry for ourselves. Like, oh, no, rise up. Come on, are you there? Oh, and God has been so kind over my life. I tell you, He's been so kind to me. He's been so good to me. And tonight, that's what I, it's amazing that you get diamonds out of pressure. You get diamonds out of pressure. So you, my beautiful friend, you're a diamond. You're a diamond in the making. But you have to rise up. You have to get into the heaven's courts by praying. And you need to slay every plan of the wicked one. Jesus didn't come for you to be comfortable. He came for you to set up, to upset the plans of Satan. And so tonight, as we take 5 seconds, what I want to do is, you guys inside here, why don't you stand with me, and online, what I want to do is, I want to ask people to comment their names, because I'm going to release a word tonight. And as you are in the building tonight, you can raise your hands. But I want to be able to release a prophetic word. I've long passed the place where I just say things. I've reached a place in my life long ago where what we say carries weight in the spirit. And so in this night, if you receive this, if you want to take this word, I would encourage you to take this word. And there we are, as the anointing comes in, I want to declare this word over your life. And by this word, to contradict every situation that currently might be upsetting you and upsetting His plans. So Father, in the name of Jesus the Christ, I send a word of life. And Father, I thank You. It's my privilege once again, Lord, in this evening that I can bind up every plan of the evil one. And Father, in this moment as I see these names running onto my screen, Father, I present these names in these households and these families before You in the name of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the Most High. And Father, in this night, Lord, as I see these names, I declare over these families, Father, that there's a breakthrough in this moment in Jesus' name. Father, I speak over these families that there's a turnaround and that there's a shaking that happens right at this moment. And at the sound of my voice, Lord, that my voice will penetrate the darkest places of their lives, of their hearts, of their even every circumstance right now. And Father, as one that You've anointed and placed in this place, God, I speak over their lives in this night that the change happens tonight. As the sun has risen down in this side of the world, Father, so as the sun has risen and the next day will come in the next day, so change will come with the sunshine. And Father, I speak change over their lives in this night in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for the church to arise and become ablaze again to the power of the Most High God. I call unto You and say, remember the gifts that is inside of You and fan into flame the gifts. Do not shrink away, do not shrink away, do not shrink away, and do not fear. And do not be in a place right now when you think about the former things, says the Lord, for I want to do greater things of your life. And so every shackle and every demon and every spirit assigned to you in this night, I rebuke in the name of Jesus the Christ. And relieve the people of God and let them go. And I speak over your life that sickness will not come close to you. Poverty will not come close to you. Nothing will come close to you assigned by the devil to you. For you will be an overcomer and you will be the head and not the tail. And you will be above and not beneath. And you will be strong. For you are greater than your onslaughts, and you are greater than your trouble, and you are greater than your pain. For never did I say to you, carry your burden beyond what I've assigned to you. I have told you, carry your cross and follow me. And so I say to you the truth tonight, empower community around the globe. I tell you the truth, listen to me, Jesus speaking. It is passing and it will pass soon. But I've shaken everything to the core to see what stands. And I will shake it once again, says the Spirit of the Lord. But this shaking is not unto destruction, it's for eternal life. So stand with me now and be strong. Be courageous and speak out. For it's time for you to prophesy. It's time for you to not to be disheartened. And it's time for you to not be afraid. You have stopped your lives at a place that you should have not stopped, it says the Lord. It's time to live. It's time to give. It's time to be a blessing. But in this night, I revoke the curse. Father, as I see these names, Lord, I revoke the curse that I see in so many people's lives. I revoke the curse in the name of Jesus. And every person that's under the sound of my voice, Father, as they accept this word, there will be a shift in the night. There'll be a shift in the night. There'll be a shift in the night. Father, I thank You, Lord, as Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 7 says this, Lord, whosoever knocks, the door will be open to whosoever seeks will find. And Father, as I'm standing inside of a dimension in this night, Father, see the people that's on the outside, see the people that are knocking, see the people that are crying, see the people that are calling out to Your name, see them, Father. Now I ask, send help. Father, send help. Father, send help. Send Your ministering angels. Send relief, God. Send relief. Father, here in Pretoria, we are crying out to You. And we are saying to You, Father, we will not bow the knee to no man but to Jesus Christ. And we are saying, Father, in one accord, in one place, in this night, we are saying, God, it's time to show up. And so come alive. And Father, invade the earth like never before. Use these sons and daughters, God. Use them and let them burn brightly in this night. And I speak over their lives, increase in this night. Increase. Increase. Not decrease. Not a taking away. Not a diminishing. Not a shaving off. But a breaking free. So Father, I pray this in this night. And I pray that every man that has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Let them hear. It's time to be faithful. It's time to stand. It's a new day. I hear the Lord say, it's a new day dawning. It's a new day. Trust in me. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day.
If you've been impacted by this ministry in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially and help us continue delivering God's word all around the world. Visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.